Okay.
We are on Ayin Ches Amud Beis towards the top of the page. The end of the second line on Ayin Ches Amud Beis. So we're asking like this. Ki Yasa Ravina Am Rav Yochanan Ve'umos Halach Achar HaZachar Nisgairu Halach Achar Pekum Shevishneim. So when you're dealing with the Umos HaOlam, you're dealing with non-Jews who so what happens? So we follow the male. We follow the man in terms of again the how we can the designation of the children. If they convert, so then we follow the most pogum of the two. We'll see what that means in a second. Those who are the most, whatever you want to call it. Blemished. So what it means, so they can explain. When he comes according to the nations of the world, so we go according to the men. So let's say you have a, and we're going to see this a distinction between the rest of the nations of the world and the Zion Amim, the seven nations that were living in Canaan, because the seven nations living in Canaan are supposed to be destroyed, we're supposed to kill them. So there's going to be a distinction between them and the rest of the non-Jewish nations. So we now let Echa Minuma say someone comes from I don't know wherever France, and he comes and is together with a Canaanist woman, Vaholi Ben, and they have a child. Shata Rasha Leknosa Beev, you're allowed to have that person, that child, become a slave. Shneamar Vegam Mnei Toshavim Hagarim Imachem Mehem Tiknu, because the pasuk says that those individuals who come to live in Eretz Yisrael, from them you can have make them a slave, meaning. As opposed to, if someone's an actual Kanani, they can't be a slave. Why? Because we were supposed to have killed them when they came into Eretz Yisrael. So Yachav, Tidu Echa Mina Kananim Shebal Achas Mina Umos. So maybe that's even a Kanani man, right? So the case there was a case of a man from some other nation who comes in with a Kanani woman. So in that case, the child is able to become a slave. Why? Because it's not considered like it's from the Zion Umos, because again, we follow non-Jews, we follow the heritage goes by the father. So Yachal Afilu Echa Min Akranim Shabal Achas Min Umos V'Holi Ben Shata Rashi Leknosa Be'ev. So maybe that'd be true even if a Kanani man was together with a woman from some other nation and had a child, that you could make that child an Eved. Tamalomar Asher Holidu Ba'artzechem Min Anoladim Ba'artzechem V'lo Min Agarim Ba'artzechem. Only can know, so the answer is no. It's only from those who are born in your land, not from those who are just happen to be living in your land. How do I know which one's which? So Rashi basically makes the assumption is that men would go, they would travel in those days. They would be the ones to travel from place to place, right, business or whatever they're doing. So if the mother is a Kanani, the mother will be typically from the place where they are now. All right, look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Minan noladim shar ba'artzachem, she'imo ma'artzachem." Right, the mother is from your land. V'yildaso sham, and he was born there. But lo mina garim ba'artzachem. Not them just having to be there now. She'nolad b'makom acher. She'imo min shar umos, right, whose mother is from some other place. V'achach balagur itzal aviv shar ba'artzachem. That's not the case. So why is this? Derech ish aliyos bimkoma. Derech ish lagalos. Right, typically, certainly in those days, that was what the mother would stay home with the family, and the father, the husband, would go out and travel the world if he had to do business, etc. So Hilgach Hanoladim Ba'aretz, those who are born in the land, Vaday Imo Mishav Umos. So what's the case in that scenario? So that's going to be for sure the mother is from the Zion Umos, in which case that's fine, right? Because by the Umos Olam, we follow the father. Aval Noladim B'Makom Acher, someone who's born somewhere else, Vada imo misharumos. So if it's born somewhere else, so then the mother's from a different nation, and then if the father's from the Zanumos, that's gonna be a problem. Mistavra kimatinu krahecha the aviv kanani. Right. What the pasuk is really trying to teach me is that if the father's a kanani, that's where we're gonna have a problem. That's the scenario where a problem. That's when the child is considered a kanani and therefore can't become an eved because it's supposed to be killed by the rest of the Zanumos. Okay. So continues the Gemara. Yizgairu halach achar pagam shevishneihem. So we mentioned this. This is not quoting our Mishnah. It's quoting the line before. All right. So, but if they convert, then you follow the most significant of the pagam. But my, what are we talking about? Elim b'mitzri shenasa amonis. If we're talking about a Mitzri convert that marries an Ammonis woman convert? My pogum shebishneim isba. What's the pogum? What's the pogum of the two of them? Right, what are we talking about? Ammoni v'lo Ammonis, right? If you're talking about a Mitzri man marrying an Ammonis woman, they don't both have a pogum. She has no pogum. She's Jewish. So Ella, but Ammoni shenasa Mitzri. So it must be a case of an Ammoni who marries a mitzris, right? So the Ammon man is forbidden forever, who marries a mitzris woman who's forbidden for three generations. E zachar have shadi bas Ammoni. If it's a boy, right? So it's gonna follow the Ammoni, right? Why? Because that's by men, Ammoni is more severe, right? When it comes to males, Ammoni is the more severe pagam because now you're forbidden forever, right? E nekeva have shadi bas mitzris. If it's a girl, so then she becomes, we have her follow the trajectory of a mitzris. Why? Because she's forbidden for three generations as opposed to Ammonis, who's never forbidden at all. So the point being, when you have to choose, right, when you have these, you know, two non-Jews who marry each other, who then converted and married each other, so then the child goes based on the more chamor pagam of the two. Fine. Okay. Next Mishnah. Mamzerin unesinin asurin. So a mamzer, we know what a mamzer is at this point, right? Someone's a child of a relationship that was, you know, you have courage for that relationship. It's, you know, like adultery, for example. Unisinim, or individuals. Nisinim, we're going to talk a lot about them in a minute. But Rashi points out, Nisinim, give onim, shinisgayr ba'arma, b'mei Yoshua, right? What the story was that they were living in the Eretz Canaan when Yoshua came in, and they tricked Yoshua to say they were from some other nation, right? Meaning, it's exactly this point, that they weren't from the Zion Amimim. And he made a deal with them, basically. And he said, fine, you know, we'll make a treaty with you. And then it turned out, he found out later, that they were really from the Zion Amimim. And so they were like, you know, so they basically tricked Yoshua, so they stayed Jewish to a certain extent, but not really. And there was always this concern that the Nesinim are not really full-fledged Jews. So what do? So v'nasam avadim lachot ve'itzim v'osho ve'amam. So then they became like avadim in the end. They made them like wood choppers and water jars. But the point is that they are forbidden to marry in. They have some pseudo-Jewish status, but they are forbidden to marry into the klal. So back to the Mishnah, Mamzer and Nisinim asurin, they are forbidden themselves. V'yisurin isra olam, and they're always forbidden to marry into the kahal. Echad zechar ve'echad nekeva. So it doesn't matter man or woman, it's all the same. Okay, and presumably that would be even if the, let's leave it at that. So I'm Rish Lakish. So Rish Lakish is as follows. Mamzeres la'achar saradoros muteres. So Rish Lakish says something probably a little shocking. He says, no, after 10 generations, a mamzer can actually, you know, 10 generations of mamzer, achar mamzer, eventually they can be, if she's a woman, she can marry into the klal. Why is that? Yolif asiri asiri me'amoni. So we learned that the halacha of ten generations from Ammoni, right? From Ammoni or Moavi, right? That when it says to Ammon or Moav, it says Gam Dor Asvilo Yavolehem Bekal Hashem Ad Olam, right? And that word Ad Olam is only by Ammon and Moav, and by Mamzer it says Lo Yavol Mamzer Bekal Hashem. So both of them it says Gam Dor Asiri. So it says Dor Asiri by Mamzer, Dor Asiri by Ammon and Moav. So Dor Asiri by Mamzer never can come in. By Amon Moav, Doras Reed cannot come in Ad Olam forever. So we see that 10 years by Amon Moav and 10 years by the Mamzer. So what does that tell me about female Mamzerim or Mamzerios? Malaharan the Kebos Mutaros, Afghana Kebos Mutaros. Right. So if you have a case of Amon Moav, which is forbidden forever to enter the Kaal, then in that scenario, the women are allowed to come in, so by moms are also, the women are able to come in. But that's true, says the Gemara, Imala halon miyad afka miyad. So what do you mean after 10 generations? That should be immediately. Right? Immediately they should be allowed in. So says the Gemara, something's interesting. Ki ahani gzera shava me'asiri ve'elech. No, that gzera shava only helps me from the 10th generation and on. Okay? Why is it from the 10th generation and on? Look at Rashi. So Rashi says like this. Me'asir ve'elech, it's a few lines down over on the left. The ada sara doros, the yisura de mamzer ksiv, right? Leikal emigmar me'amoni, then the kevos mutaros. Meaning the pasuk by mamzer says, gam dor asiri lo yavol lehem kal Hashem. Right? And there's no jerusha about mamzer to distinguish between men and women. However, after that 10, after those 10 generations, what happens? The fact that mamzer remains forbidden forever after the 10th generation, that's learned only from Ammon and Moab, right? Because only Ammon and Moab says the words Ad Olam. So Ad Olam is learned from Ammon and Moab. So, you know, to generate generations usher, that's in the pasuk. But the fact that it's forever, I don't know that from mamzer. I only know that because we're learning it out from Ammon and Moab. And by Ammon and Moab, what's the halacha? It's only true by men, not by women. So the point being that yes, both of them are forbidden for 10 generations. But once the 10th generation is over, yes, I'm learning that for the men, it's still adult. It's forever, even by mamzer. But by mamzeres, that afterwards, the extension of a mamzer, which is learned by Ammon and Moab, that should only be for the men because by Ammon and Moab, the rule is only by men, not by women. Okay, so continues the Gemara. Van Antanan Mamzerim Unesinin Asurin Viisurin Isur Olam Echad Zecharim Veesachin Nekevas. This is against the Beferish and Mishnah. The Mishnah told us it's men and women forever. So what's going on here? So Lokasha. So you're right. It's a Machlokas. Right? Rish Lakish seems to be arguing with the Mishnah. So Lokasha, no problem. Ha Kamanda Amar Dun Mina Umina. Ha Kamanda Amar Dun Mina Vuki Veasuras. These are two different ways of relating to Xeris, like a drasha, right? So dun mina umina. Look at Rashi. Rashi's going to explain it. Look at Rashi. Hakamanda amar dun mina umina. Plug to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yeshua be'arva. This is a machlokas in Chulin. And what does it mean? Dun mina umina. Ki gamrinan milsa mi milsa. When I learn one thing from the other, because they are shava, gamrinan la kula milsa mina. Right. So dun mina umina means I'm learning something from something. From somewhere else, so I learn everything comes along with it, right? So, for example, in our case, once I'm learning out the idea of the Isser Lavo Bakal Hashem of Mamzer from Ammon and Moav. So, once I'm learning from Ammon and Moav, I take the whole package. So, Ammon and Moav is teaching me Ad Olam, teaching me it's forever. That's one piece I'm learning, but I'm learning something else in the Mosa, which is only men, not women. So, Dumi No Mina means I take the whole. Kid and Kaboodle, when I'm learning a drasha from one pasuk to another, so that pasuk by Amud Moav means Ad Olam, but it also means only men, not women. So all of that applies to mamzer, right? So look at Rashi. That's Duminamina. Duminav Uki Basra. That literally means learn from it, but leave certain things in place. All right, so you'll take a piece, but leave other things alone. It says Rashi. Lamad Tzrichi Gamrinan. Right, the thing you need, you bring. The thing you don't need, you leave alone. So in our case, what would that mean? Now I need to, that by the case of mamzer, I want to learn that the 10 generations is not just 10 generations, also Ad Olam, it's forever. How do I learn it? I learn it from Asiri Asiri by mamzer and Ammon and Moav. Oh, great. So I take the Ad Olam by Ammon and Moav and I schlep it over to mamzer. See, it's forever. Well, what about the fact that it's men and not women? Yeah, that Uki Basra, that you leave in its place, and you don't bring it. So that's basically the machlokas, right? The Mishnah that says Ad Olam and men and women. So that's a Dumina V'Uki Basra. Yeah, I took the Ad Olam part, but the men not women, I leave in its place. I'm not bringing that over. Rish Lakish says, no, you take the whole package, right? It's, yeah, I learned Ad Olam. It's forever when it comes to a mamzer, but I also pull with it only men, not women, after the 10th generation. Okay.
Is there any significance that the pasuk for mamzer comes before?
I don't think it matters. Yeah, where it is in the Torah. That's a good point, by the way. It's actually a really good point.
Right before. One's pasuk gimel, if I'm reading this right. One's gimel, one's dalet.
So the truth is that Gzeir Shabbat can come, you know, we have Tesvav by
right
Sukkot and Pesach. Yeah, it happens to be. It's an interesting point. But Gzeir Shabbat, the truth is, it could really be, even if they're not right near each other, it can be two totally different parts of the Torah. It is interesting, you're right, that they're one right after the other in the Torah makes it more interesting. But I don't think it has to, that you could have Gzeir Shabbat that have nothing to do with their being next to each other. Because really it's about Asiri Asiri, right? That's really what it comes from. Fine. So Shalu is Rabbi Eliezer. So they asked Rabbi Eliezer the following. Mamzeres la'achar asara dari mohu. Right, so what's the din? Right, what did they say? What mamzer is after 10 generations? What's the status? Amar lahem mi yitein li dor shlishi v'ataranu. Find me a third generation mamzer, and I'll be matar. Meaning, give me a break. Like nobody knows, and we're gonna see. Right, Alma Kasar. What do you see? He thinks mamzera lo chai. Mamzera lo chai. What does mamzera lo chai mean? It means what it sounds like it means. That mamzerim don't live. that mamzerim end up dying out. Okay? Look at Rashi. Well, now it's in the wild lands. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lands down the wild lands. Miyitim li dor shlishi, kolomar davar shi efshahu. It's never going to happen. Lo chai, shelo yitamu ksherim bedorosof. Right? Almost like there's like a, you know, Yad Hashem plays a role in history or in the in communities to make sure that those individuals who are mamzerim and nobody knows about them, so they don't end up getting married. People don't know about them. They don't live. Literally, they die. Yes. V'chein amr afuna back in the Gemara. V'chein amr afuna mamzer alochai. Afuna also said mamzerim don't live. That's fine. So the Gemara says, wait a second. V'ha'an antran mamzerin asurin v'yisurin yisraelim. You just told me the halacha that applies to mamzerim, that they're forbidden and they're forbidden forever. Clearly they're alive. If you held there's never ever a mamzer ever alive, what are you telling me halachas about them for, right? So, okay, so you're saying to me, so we also do the same thing with Ir HaNidachas, and we still talk about, you know, Ben Sora Mori. Okay, fine. But the presumption here is that if you have a Mishnah talking about these cases, the assumption is that they exist. So, Amar Bizera Lididim Mefarshali Mine, the Rav Yehuda. So I'll tell you, I have a chat, I'll tell you from Rav Yehuda, that he said, the Adia Chai. No, those Mamzerim that are known, if it's obvious, or they know themselves, or it's known who they are, those Mamzerim live. The Lo Yedia Lo Chai. The ones who are not known about, those are the ones who don't live. Why, presumably? If you're known about, then you can keep the halacha applies to that person, right? And they won't get mixed in with other people. But if it's those who are not known about that don't live, because otherwise it would you know destroy the generations by having people marry into them and not realize it. So the idea with the lo yedia atlas adarichai tveilochai, those who are, you know, not quite as known, but a little bit known. So those ones, you know, stay for three generations. Look at Rashi. The idea of Elodia, it's like five lines in the bottom. The Zihiri Inchi Chaye Tzvei. And those that people are more aware of, so they're gonna pay attention to. The Hiri Inchi Chaye Tzvei Lo Chaye. For three generations, people pay attention. After the third generation, people are not going to notice anymore. It's like great, great, great grandkids. No one's remember anymore. They came in the lav davar baruhu mishtakcha milsa. It's not such an obvious thing, so it's going to get forbidden. No one knows, you know, it's something that if you know, you know, but if you don't know, you would have no idea. So after three generations, those individuals, they don't really exist anymore. Okay. Asahuda hav vishavu said to Rabbi Ami, there was a person who was living in the community of Rabbi Ami. Achriz alei de mamzer hava. So Rabbi Ami announced to the world that he's a mamzer. Bachi, right? So he started to cry. Bachi va'azar. He started to cry and he was leaving. He felt terrible. He was so upset. What did you do to me? You told the whole world about me. So Amalei, I'm never going to get married with it. You know. So Amalei, Chaim Nasati Lecha. He says, no, I gave you life. Why? Because if no one knows who you are, you're going to die. Right. So the fact that I told everybody, it gave you life. Okay. I don't know if that made the guy feel better, but that drives home the point at least. Okay. So Amrav Chana Bar Ada. So, and by the way, like, you know, Bizman Azeh, like the way that Poskim try to, you know, do whatever they can to avoid creating the scenario of Mamzerus or even like big discussion. If you know someone has a situation, what should you say? You shouldn't say. The whole, this happened after the Holocaust also. People who thought that their spouse had died and then they got remarried and then the spouse came back. And so it turns out the children are Mamzerim. Like, what? How do you deal? Like, the whole, you know, whole Torah, how Poskim would deal with these situations to avoid these scenarios. Amar B'chana Bar Ada, Nesinim, David Gazer Aleim. So B'chana Bar Ada says, Nesinim, David made a gzeir about them. Shana Amar, as the Pasuk says, Vayikra Melech la'givonim, that the Melech called out to the Givonim, Vayomer la'alehem, he said to them, Va'givonim lo b'mnei Yisrael hema. He said about them, they're not from the Jewish people. Okay, in my time of Gazer Aleim, why did he make a gzeir about them? Dichsiv, Vahi Rav b'mei David shaloshanim. There was a famine in Eretz Yisrael for 3 years in the times of David HaMelech. Shana achar shana. So year after year. Shana rishona amar lahem shema over avodas kochavim yeshbechem. So the first year he said to them, well, maybe there's over the avodas zararim. Dichsiv avadatem Elohim acherim v'shachavisim lahem v'atzaras hashamayim l'yematar. Because the pasuk says if you do avodas zararim, there's going to be no rain. Badku v'lo matzu. They didn't find it. Shnia, the second year, Amalehem Shema over Averi Yishbechem. Maybe there's people who are violating a lot of halachos. Dichse Bayimanu Revivimu Malkosh lohaya. Right, if you're gonna, if there's gonna be again, there's gonna be no sustenance, etc. If people are violating the mitzach isha zona hayalcha, right? So people are involved in all kinds of bad stuff. So maybe that's gonna lead to no rain. So but kavlamatzu, again, they checked, they didn't find it. Shlishis amalhem. So the third year, he said to them, Shema poskate tzedaka v'ravim yeshbachem. Maybe the people who are doing the right thing when it comes to tzedakah. So ve'ein osnin, right? And you're not giving. Dichsiv nesim v'ruach v'geshem ein ish mishalal b'masa sheker. So barku v'lo matzu. They checked again, they didn't find. So Amar, ein adavar tali ela b'mi, ela b'i. So he goes, it's up to me now. I got to deal with this. Miyad v'ivakesh davar tzpenei Hashem. So that point, he requested the face of Hashem. What does that mean? Ma'hi amresh lakish sheshal v'orim v'tumim. Right, he asked Pnei Hashem. It means he asked him for Tumim. My mashma, how do I know that? Amr Belazar Asya Pnei. Ksiv Hachavay Akish David as Pnei Hashem. He asked for the face of Hashem. Ksiv Hasam Vishalav Vimishpat Haurim Lifnei Hashem. So when it talks about the asking for Tumim, it says Lifnei Mipnei. So Pnei Pnei. So you see, it means asking the for Tumim. Okay, but Yom Hashem El Shaul VeBeis Hadamim Al Shehemis Hagivonim. So Hashem said, and this is going back, right, that to the house of Shaul, because he killed the Givonim. Al Shaul Shal Nispar Kalacha, about Shaul. So he basically said, so Hashem said back to him, well, it's about two things. It's about Shaul and the Beis Damim of and Beis Hadamim, because they killed the Givonim. So what are we talking about? Al Shaul Shal Nispar Kalacha on Shaul is because he wasn't given a hesped appropriately. Shaul's body was taken by the Plishtim, and it was never like, it was just buried in the middle of the night. Quickly, the Jews were able to get it back and bury it, but they didn't get a real husband. And because the Givonim were killed, what do you find that Shaul killed the Givonim? What are you talking about? No, Elam Yitok Shaharag Nof Yirah Kohanim Shaim are speaking Lehem Mayim Umazo Ma'alav HaKasuv Ki Lo Hargan. Right, that Shaul HaMelech, when he was searching for David, so he kills the Nof Yirah Kohanim because they had he was, suspecting them of helping David HaMelech, or he wasn't yet the Melech. But by killing them, you ended up hurting the Givonim because in Nov Yerkonim, they took care of them. Okay, so Katav El Shaul Shlo Nisba Kalacha, but Katav El Shehem Yisak Givonim. That's what you're going after? In Dam Rish Lakish Maksiv, Mai Dichsiv, Bikshus Hashem, Kol Inoy Aretz, Asher Mishpato Pa'alo, Asher Mishpato Sham Pa'alo. So, the point being that, what's going on here? On the one hand, look at Rashi. Rashi is Katava, second the bottom line, HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvod Shaul. Right, so I don't understand. He's worried about the covenant of Shaul, Shlo Nispa Kalacha. V'hadar Katava bet Peronuse de Shaul. Asher Hemis, right? On the one hand, he's upset that Shaul didn't get the covenant he deserves. On the other hand, you're upset that he killed the Givonim. What's going on here? The answer is, yeah. Even when you're going to judge somebody, you're also going to find out the positive things they did. Right? When you're going in, digging, so we know you're digging on the good things of somebody, you're going to find the bad things. But same thing, if you're digging on the bad things, you're going to also find the good things. Fine. So Amar David, Shaul Nafgalahu, Shresar Yarche Shasa, Vilogarchel Lemispadei. Right, so David said, look, it's already been 13 months already, and we're done already. It's not that you can't start having hespedim after he's been gone for a year already. But nesinim nikrinu v'nefaisenu. But let's call the nesinim, and maybe we can call them and make them feel a little bit better about what happened. So v'ikra melech l'givonim v'yom aleihem ma es alechem u'ma echaper. Right, how can I help you? What can I do? U'baruchu es nachlas Hashem. They said, we don't want any money. We want seven of Shaul's children, and we're going to kill them, basically. So my fist, he tried to pay them off. They said no. So Amar, so he said it. So then David realized who he's dealing with. Amar, there's three things that makes a Jew. Rachmanim, Vabayshanim, Vegomei Chasadim. We have Rachmanos on people, we have a little shame, and we are Gomei Chasadim. And he's going to explain the whole thing, and basically he's going to say is that, they don't have this, they don't have these midos. And that's why he makes a gzeira on them, which we'll get to as we move along, but we'll stop. Okay, go ahead.